to talk to you about what it actually takes to be good in this business from day one. And for me, I just kind of look at this like it's a movie. And the one thing that people have to do in World Ventures, and if you're taking notes, just write this down. You need to be a professional storyteller. See, what you got to realize is that facts tell, stories sell. And so when you look at World Ventures, let me make this crystal clear for everybody in the room. You guys know when you go out in New York and you go to a movie, and you know, why do people go to a movie? It's like $15 to go to a movie in New York. So you get through the door, you pay your $15. Then you get all set up with popcorn, your Skittles, you know, you're paying $5 for a soda, you know, or if you're like me, you're just kind of sneaking a couple things in, okay? Because I always sneak my Skittles in because the sign says no food or drink, and Skittles are not a food, okay? You want to sell me Skittles? Call them food. You know what I mean? Whatever. It's not food, right? So you know, we buy it or we kind of sneak a couple things into the movie theater. We end up spending like $50 or something like that. And then we finally get inside the movie theater. And it's so funny. Nobody actually wants a short movie. You know, because if you guys remember Titanic was extremely long. Anybody see Titanic? Okay. So here's how the movie should work, okay? The movie should work like this when you go to a movie. Somebody, you know, it gets dark, you know, the lights come down, everything dims, gets quiet, and somebody should just walk out in the middle of the movie theater, right in front of everybody, and he should say this. Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for coming to see this movie, Titanic. I'm going to tell you exactly how this works. See, what happens in the movie Titanic is Celine Dion, she sings real high, and everybody drowns real low. Good night. And that should be the movie, man. We should just get right to it. She sings real high, they drown real low, the movie is over, love scene in the middle, boom. Took you $20. But no. That's not what you want, is it? You want the movie to go on. You want them to tell you a story. And so it just occurred to me that why don't we do that in World Ventures? You know, so what's happening today is I'm going to teach you guys how to put together a blockbuster movie. I'm going to help you put together your movie so that as you go from an active rep, zero left, zero right, all the way up to IMD. Okay? I'm going to teach you how to do that, guys. I'm going to teach you the story, right? So here's what we're going to do. Every story must have three parts. Every good movie. So the three parts to a good movie are a fight, a dream, and a script. See, a lot of people want World Ventures to be easy. They don't want there to be a fight. But every movie that I've ever seen, there's been a struggle, right? There's a guy or there's a woman in the movie that's got a dream, right? And there's somebody that took the time to write the script before it actually went to Hollywood. So we got script writers in there that are doing some of this stuff. Now, I don't know if you guys recognize this face, but this is Sylvester Stallone. He's actually spent a lot of time in New York. And, you know, early in his acting career, he talked about, you know, wanting to write his own script. And the reason why is because he was underpaid, he was underappreciated, he had scenes deleted, you know, he just got uncredited, a lot of stuff never really happened for him. And so he was always leaving his destiny in somebody else's hands, and they would just, you know, put him in the movie and start deleting scenes. And so what he decided is he said this. He said, early in my acting career, I realized that the only way I would ever prove myself was to create my own script. See, that's what World Ventures gives us the opportunity to do. I never had that at the job. You know, when I was working Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, sitting in a cubicle, you know, working the 40-40-40 plan, You know what that is? 40 hours a week for 40 years of your life. And you know who's writing your script at that point? Somebody else. Because they control your income, and your income, that controls your car, what kind of car you drive, controls what time of home you live in, where you send your kids to school, how much vacation time you have. You know, so I was doing that 40 hours a week for 40 years of my life. And when you finally get to the end, you got to retire on 40% of what you couldn't live on in the first place. And then at your retirement party, they actually are taking your retirement party and they're turning them into rehirement parties because nobody's actually retiring. It's such a joke. Forbes magazine came out a few months back and they said that 85% of all the people that are retiring right now are retiring with $50,000 in their bank account or less. That scared me. See, I want to see the beaches of the world now. I didn't want to wait until I was 80 years old taking selfies of myself with wrinkles and, you know, all that stuff. I want to get it on now. So I was like Sylvester. I wanted to create my own script. That's why you guys are here. You want to create your own script. But here's the problem. The problem for Sylvester Stallone is he wanted to create a boxing movie. And back then when he was creating boxing movies, you know, they weren't even popular. Like, he was going around shopping a script, and people were like, man, a boxing movie? We don't need a boxing movie. You know what's hot right now in theaters? The Exorcist. That was hot. Godfather. You guys know Godfather out here? Okay. Nobody's in any trunks out here, right? Okay. So the Godfather was hot. You know what else was hot besides boxing movies? Jaws was hot. Okay? Those are the movies that were making all the money. There were no boxing movies going out, so what Sylvester was trying to do, you know, was kind of like us. It was before his time, and people didn't understand, you know, how this could possibly work. So, do you guys realize that as we're putting together a movie, and that's what we're doing today, is we're gonna go from zero left, zero right to IMD, and we're gonna put together our script together today, okay, in this room. And do you guys know that, you know, what happens at the end of every movie? Somebody dies. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. You know, and then, you know, sometimes you got a happy ending, but that's at the end. But I'm talking about what happens at the very end of every movie. Boom! Credits. And so, the thing I love about the end of the movie is it's actually the beginning of the movie. Because all these credits, right? These are all the people that have roles in the movie. We got the A-list actor, we got the supporting role, we got the guy on the street, we got all these different roles, you know, in our movie. And so when I thought about this, I was like, that's just like World Ventures. See, this right here, this is our list. This is what we need to go build the business. See, and so we just got to give people an opportunity to star in our movie. Some people are going to say yes. Some people are going to say no. It doesn't matter. See, the guy that you think or the woman that you think is going to be the person that blows this thing up, they might not even accept the role. And if that happens, what do you got to do? You got to keep on going down your list, and you got to find somebody to fill that role. So that's your list. So we got main actors, we got supporting actors, we got all these different roles. See, when I first got into World Ventures, I wasn't the main actor. You know who's the main actor in my movie? It was my sponsor. I did not believe I could do World Ventures. He believed I could do World Ventures. And he was the main actor early on in my movie. Over time, I built a belief, and I transitioned myself to the main actor. And you know why? Because the main actor makes all the money. I said, like, I gotta fix this. And so here's how you put together your list. These are the people that are gonna audition for your movie, right? And so if I was making my list today and I was looking for people to put in my movie, I would start with the people that are the closest to me. And so as you're making your list, you know, I would put down first, you know, your flat tire friends. You know, who are the people that if you caught four flat tires in the middle of the night and you had a 1% battery, you know, who are those people that you would actually call to come and pick you up? Write those people down. They should definitely be in your movie. They should definitely be on your list. You know, those people are going to be good. And what I'm showing you guys here is I'm showing you the credits from a Rocky movie. And I don't know if you noticed, but Sylvester Stallone, he's got somebody in his movie called Frank Stallone. What does that tell you? That even when he wrote Rocky, he went to his friends and family first and gave them first opportunity to star in the movie. Guess what? Some of them probably said yes. Some of them probably said no. Tell me fast. I got to go, right? And so who else should be on your list? Who would you call if you have 4 flat tires in the middle of the night? Who would you call if you were, you know, that's super competitive? And when I say super competitive, you know, you're playing a game of Monopoly and they're, you know, hiding extra $100 bills underneath the table. You know, anybody know somebody like that? They want to win so bad, right? He's like, that's me. He's like, I tried to use that money at Burger King the other night, all right? And who else would you call? Who out there wears hoop earrings and animal print pants? Like, who are the crazy people out here in New York? Because I'm crazy, you know? Not Dennis Rodman earring crazy, but I'm crazy. So you want to get some crazy people wearing some crazy outlandish things? Put their names down. Let's see what happens when you put them in your movie. It'll look good at least. Okay. Who's the first person on the dance floor? Let's put that person in. Okay, I see you. Let's put that person in your movie as well. Who's sick and tired of their job? Why don't you put that person in your movie? And I'll tell you another way that you can make that list is there's a system called the ERIC system. And what ERIC stands for is you're going to want to write down the E, the R, the I, and the C, because you're going to want to put down the entrepreneurial people that you got in your world. You know, who owns their own hair salon? You know, who do you know that's resourceful? You know, they could take nothing and make it into something. Y'all, you guys all know people like that. Who do you know that's influential? You know, who are the pillars here in the community? Like for me, my business took off. It was just a bunch of teachers that had influence. And there was some principals that had influence, you know, that kind of made this thing pop on one of my legs early on in the deal for me. You know, and the C stands for city. You know, who lives within a 20-mile radius? We want to go and show them, like, as soon as this training is over, right? Another way to make your list is something called a warm market memory jogger. If you go to Google later today and you type in warm market memory jogger, you know, it's got like 100 different things to kind of jog your memory, like who's dissatisfied with their job, who's a homemaker, who's a CNA, who's a CPA, who do you know that comes and cleans the pools, you know? I mean, it's just 100 different things. I mean, you can make a big list off of that. See, when I first got into World Ventures, my original list of people was only 7 people. My friend told me to make a big list of people, and I put down 7 people. He calls me up. He's like, how many you got? I was like, I got 7. He said to me this. He goes, Akil, you know everybody in Madison. You've been living there your whole life. How you only got 7? Like, you got more than 7 people in your family. And I was like, no, Ray. I was like, these are the people that, like, want to travel. These 3 right here. And these 4, these are the ones I want to make money. And my buddy, he just says to me on the phone, he goes, are you God? He's like, why are you making the decision for them? Are you a psychic mind reader? How do you know this? He's like, why don't you let them look at what's going on and make their own decision on whether or not they want to be a part of your movie, okay? So let them decide. And, you know, the other thing that I think people got to realize is, okay, once you make your list, and maybe it goes from 7 to, like, my second list I made after I got the phone with him, I went down, I wrote down 76 names, and the way I did it was I just went through my cell phone. So everybody's got a cell phone. You guys got a bunch of names in there that you're skipping right now. You know, if I asked you to pull out your cell phone right now and you said, oh, I called everybody on my phone. Oh, you didn't call this person, you didn't call this person, you didn't call this person. So you need to be calling every single name in your phone. And you need to have this stuck to your face just like this. And that's how you're going to get paid in World Ventures. I don't call this a phone. Out where we live, we call this a freedom tool. All right? You get free when you do this and when you do this on your phone. And so, you know, what do you say? Well, I look at it like this. Since this is a movie, we need to get you into your character. We need to get you into role. See, Hugh Jackman did a good job of playing Wolverine and X-Men. Anybody see X-Men? That's the bomb.com, isn't it? That movie's good. But see, here's what I know. If Hugh Jackman was in New York City today, and you saw him at a Starbucks, he was so good in that movie that if you saw him ordering a soy chai latte, you'd look at your friend and you'd be like, that's Wolverine. You wouldn't say Hugh Jackman. You'd be like, that's Wolverine. You'd be like, hey, Wolverine, what's up? Let's do a selfie. And the thing about it is, like, you need to get into your role too. You need to get into your character so you can go and make the big money in World Ventures. So I don't know who that is for you, but you know, maybe it's Iron Man, maybe it's Wolverine, you know, whoever that is for you, you got to get yourself in the role. And here's the four-step invite. This is what we're going to actually say when we go out and we call these people, okay? So we're going to do a Hollywood style, okay? So number one, be in a hurry. That's number one thing we got to do. Number two, we're going to clear the date. Number three, we're going to say the line. And number four, we're going to confirm the dates. So these are the four steps. And this is your script. So you know Wolverine, for example. You know, he's a great actor, but he didn't actually write X-Men. I hope you guys know that. Somebody else wrote X-Men. He just acted in X-Men. So at some point, somebody had to hand Wolverine a script, and he had to learn those lines, and he had to eventually recite that. And he had to get really, really good at it. And I bet you that Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, when he was rehearsing that part for Wolverine, I bet you he rehearsed that over and over and over and just got really, really good at perfecting that. And that's what you're going to do when you do your four-step invite. See, here's what I did. I didn't try to just go out and be like, you know, hey, I'm in a hurry, and just try to, you know, just say it to my friends. I took an 8.5 by 5 note card, and I wrote down, be in a hurry. You know, I wrote down, clear the date, say the line, confirm the date. I wrote down exactly what I wanted. I put on a 3 by 5 note card, and that was my script. And I took that script, and I used it over and over and over and over to build my movie and get my cast of characters rolling. So it would be like this. Hey, Yvette, I'm in a hurry. Listen, what are you doing tomorrow around 7 o'clock? I got something huge going on in my life, and I want to share it with you. 7 p.m., my place, tomorrow, work. Okay, so that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is you call her up and you say, hey, Yvette, what do you got going on right this second? Nothing. I'm coming over. There is so much money in just taking action immediately. See, some people, not in New York, but in other parts of the country, they're going to go to an event like this, and they're going to hear this, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. They're going to want to do it, but then they're not going to go out and actually do it. And I'm just going to tell you guys that procrastination is the assassin of all opportunity. So everything that you want to do, we need to get to doing it right now. I had a huge problem with procrastination. I bought a book on procrastination. I'm still getting around to reading it, but but on a serious note, here's how I got over procrastination. When I was doing World Ventures early on, I would just say this to myself over and over, because I would want to pick up the phone, but I was afraid to pick up the phone. And I would just tell myself, if I don't pick up the phone, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to rot. And I'm not going to be successful. I said, I got to do it now. So I just started saying this over and over in my head. I said, do it now, 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 do it, do it now. And I would say that until I actually did it. And if I didn't do it, I had to keep saying, do it now, 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 do it now. Until I did the thing. That motivated me to pick up the phone, all right? And so, you know, you gotta say that. And then this is what you're gonna need as you go out and you build this business, you go out and share this idea with people, and you're getting people like A-list actors, B-list actors in your movie, is a couple things you're gonna wanna do is you're gonna be excited. You know, when you're on that phone and you're talking to somebody, and I know there's a lot of people that text, and we'll talk about texting invites and all that stuff in a second, but when somebody can actually hear you over the phone, it's a whole nother world. So if you're going to put together an award-winning performance and you're going to get an Oscar in World Ventures for the role that you play in your own movie, you need to be super-duper excited, you need to have a lot of enthusiasm, and you need to smile. See, especially in New York, man, It's just like where I live. Everywhere you go, people are skeptical, right? But I'll tell you, when you're smiling, people are like, man, I don't know what Akil is on, but I want that, you know? Sign me up. Whatever you're taking, I'll take that. It's like World Ventures. That's what I'm doing right now, okay? So, and then the other thing is, like I said earlier, be like Hugh Jackman. Practice over and over and over. And I would just practice, you know, when I got started, you know, I would practice in front of a mirror sometimes, and I would, like, look at my face, and I would see my expressions, and I'd be like, you know what, I signed up with that guy? I mean, I would do stuff like that. I would talk to myself in the shower all the time. People are like, what are you doing? Who's in there? I'm like, it's me, you know? But guys, that's how I got good, is, like, all the stuff that was in my head, it wasn't like I was just practicing on somebody for the first time. I was in my shower over and over and over, practicing what I was going to say in the morning because I didn't want to go to my job for 40 years. So I said, man, let me just use that shower time while I'm soaping up. I'm going to talk about being in a hurry, clear the day, say the line, you know, all that stuff. And that makes a difference because, you know, if it's just in your head, that's a thought. But if you can actually verbalize it, then that's the word. And thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become your destiny. That's just how this works. Okay? So practice. Practice is repetition, you know. Repetition is the mother of all skill. So let's practice our lines. And this is what I don't want you to do when you get on the phone, okay? I want you to get into character, but this is not how the four-step invite works. Some of y'all get scared on the phone, and you're like,
listen, I don't have a lot of time right now. What are we doing later tonight?
No. It's not that type of movie. See, this movie's different. This movie is about beaches, oceans. I mean, get into your role, guys. It's tropical. It's sunny. It's cruises. It's vacationing. Guys, this movie right here, this movie's about families that have never been on vacation together, going on vacation for the first time because they can finally afford it. Why are we not on the phone talking about vacations? This is the movie that we decided to be in. This isn't the Titanic. This isn't Star Wars. Nobody's Jedi Knight lasering us in the head. This is vacations, guys. We should be telling everybody about this. So that's the movie. That's the role. That's what we're doing. Get in your role. Start casting that vision for everybody when you're talking to them, guys. Be excited about this. And then the other thing I'll share with you guys is some of the people you're calling to get roles in your movie, these are like, you know, the A-list actors, they're too cool to answer the phone. You know, you call them 100 times, they're not going to answer. The only way you can get them is a text. I get it. You know, but the reason they got a text, I'm going to tell you. The reason why most people text today is because they're sitting in a cubicle waiting to retire. See, I love calling my friends now that I don't have a job anymore. I do World Ventures 100% full time. And I call up my friends, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. And if they answer, it's like this. Hello? Hey, what's up? It's Akil. What's going on?
Hey, Akil, what's up?
My income! You know?
Hey, I don't know why you're so excited. It's 9 o'clock, dude. Look, hey, can you like get me a Starbucks or something? I know you don't got a job, but I gotta text you back.
So some people got a text. They think they're Hollywood, but they just don't, their time broke, okay? So for those people that you got a text, do it like this. You know, just say, you know, two things. Text them this. It's real simple. I know you guys are expecting something complex. I'm not a complex person. It's, what are you doing right now? Text them that. If they say nothing, just say, I'm coming over. Okay? And so most of the time you text them, I mean, you know, if they're at their job, then say, hey, I'm coming over right after that. And just pop in. Just show up on them, okay? It's hard for them to not show up at their own house. It is different, though. I remember the first time I actually signed somebody up, and I was so excited. I was like, man, I feel like I won. I finally won. I got somebody on the team. Yes, you guys know that feeling? Then I went over to their house to train them, and I rang the doorbell, and the lights went out. This is the level of respect you can start to command in Real Ventures, I'm telling you, you know? And then I'd knock on the window, and they'd be like, nobody's home. Some people get scared, you know? They get excited, then they're not excited, and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy, yeah? But here's what else is going to happen in your movie, and you can expect this, is you're going to have critics that pop up. When you do that four-step invite that I was talking about, when you say this to people, hey, I'm in a hurry, listen, you know, what do you got going on at 7 o'clock? You know, I got something huge going on in my life, and I want to share it with you. You know, sometimes people are going to say weird stuff to you at this point. And so that's what you say to them, but what's going to happen back is they're going to say stuff like, what is it? And you got to understand, they're in your movie, right? So that's their line. Expect that. So if you know already that that's their line, just know that's part of the movie, that's part of the script, right? They're supposed to say that. There's supposed to be a little bit of drama, a little bit of friction, but you're the hero in the movie. You're going to overcome all that, right? So you just, you know, be like, hey, it's me. You know, it's, you know, 7 o'clock, my place, tomorrow work. You know, that's it. Just keep moving, okay? So, am I going back? So this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the critics that are going to show up in your movie. So you're out here, you know, you're showing this idea. You actually get somebody to sit down and see it. And then people look at your movie, they look at your script, they look at the vacationsooner.com, or they look at your worldventures.biz, or you go through a PowerPoint presentation, and you get to the end, and you're like, you in? And they're like, psst, I don't know, this don't look like a script I want to be a part of. You know, this movie ain't going to fly. Nobody's going to be a part of this. What makes you think you can star in this movie, man? You've never starred in anything in your life. You got a good job down at Sears, you should stay there, you know? But what I want you to understand, and this is what they don't understand, is even when somebody says no, because you wrote the script and you invited them into your movie, they're still a part of your movie when it's all said and done. See, when you go from zero left to zero right, and you go all the way to IMD, there's this little thing in the middle called the story, and all those critics are in the story. And I'm telling you what, when you make it to IMD, actually when you make it to director, some of those critics are going to start popping back up. And they're gonna be like, man, you know what I'm saying? You still got a part in the movie? I mean, you know what I mean? And then when you get to marketing director, some more are gonna pop up. I promise you that. People blow me up now all the time because they see me on vacation and I make it real obvious. I'm like, this is my office. I got a t-shirt. This is my office. I'm on vacation. Where you at? You know? And so some of those people are gonna start popping up. And I just want you to understand that they're in your movie whether they realize it or not. And the best thing about a movie is when you're making a blockbuster like you guys are doing, and you get to IMD, see, that's the first movie. But every great movie has a round two, Troy Brown. All right? So when you hit double IMD, that's the second movie. And guess what? All those people that said no in the first movie, because you stayed the course and you finished and it became a blockbuster, they're going to want to be a part of movie two. And they're going to want to be a part of part three. And it's going to go on and on and on. And your children's children will be signing people up. It'll be their great-great-grandfather that said no. So guys, I want to wrap this up, guys. Here's what I'm going to tell you guys. At the end of the day, what I want you to take from this talk is that this is your movie. There's a guy named Sylvester Stallone. I mentioned him earlier, and I love bringing this home with this. Is he knew his whole life that he wanted to inspire people. He knew that ever since he was a kid that he wanted to do something where he could inspire people and move people. And the reason why is because when he was born, he had to overcome a lot of things. I mean, he was pulled out by his head with forceps. Okay, that's the reason why, you know, he talks the way he does. Yo, Adrian. You know, it was because of that. And so, you know, the way he talked, the way he looked, it wasn't what a lot of people were looking for. They didn't think that he was the type of guy that could star in a movie, okay? And so when he was going around and he was looking for jobs, he actually went around in New York talking to agents. And he says, I was thrown out of 1,500 agent offices in New York. Now, if you've been in New York for a while, back then, there were not 1,500 agent offices to be thrown out of. He said, I know. I went back to the same ones 5 or 6 times. Okay? His first acting job, he was actually a thug in a movie. Like, that's the type of roles that he was commanding. So Rocky wasn't the first. I mean, he was a thug in his first movie. No one would actually give him, like, a leading part. And that went on and on and on. And he was pursuing this as his dream, you guys. And his wife wasn't too excited about it. His wife wanted him to go and get a job. He didn't have a job. You know, he just said, I'm really committed to this. And he's like, the reason why I don't want to get a job is because if I get a job, I'm actually going to lose my passion. You know, I want to be an actor. I don't want a job. I want to act. And so money's running out at home. There's no heat at home. He can't pay the bill. So he goes to the library just so he can stay warm. He wasn't even trying to read a book. And he stumbles across this author named Edgar Allan Poe. And he said, that changed his life. The things that he wrote about, the things that he talked about, it was such a moving experience that he decided he wanted to be a writer. He wanted to be an actor and a writer, right? And so, again, he was so broke that he decides to sell some jewelry. Now, it's okay if you sell jewelry when you're broke, but he sold his wife's jewelry. So she's going to work. He doesn't have a job. He's broke. He sells her jewelry so he can keep the dream alive. Ladies, we all know that's not going to go over very well. The other thing is, I mean, this guy was so broke, he couldn't even feed his dog, okay? So he's walking down to a liquor store, and he says, you know, I don't even have the money to feed my dog. So he goes out, and he tries to sell his dog. And he tries to sell his dog for $50, and no one wants to buy his dog. And finally, he finds this guy who will negotiate with him, and he buys the dog for $25. And he said, that was, at that point, the lowest point in my life. Because I lost my wife at this point. He's like, this dog was the only person that loved me unconditionally. He's like, that broke my heart. Sold his dog for $25. So then, a couple days later, he sees a fight. And it's Muhammad Ali, and it's this guy named Wepner. And that's where he decided. He was so inspired because this guy was getting beat. I mean, he was getting hammered. He was getting drilled. Ali was just giving it to him, floating like a butterfly. And he said, but that guy just stayed in there and took it. And he was so moved by that. He was so inspired by that that he went home and he wrote Rocky within 20 hours from start to finish. He said, I couldn't sleep. Wrote the whole movie. Was done. He's like, I knew that this is what I was meant to do. And he's like, I'm going to star in my movie. And he took the movie to his critics. You know, he's out shopping it around in New York, and everybody in New York City is telling him, man, this movie's predictable, dude. It's stupid. It's sappy. I mean, it's a boxing movie. Like, it's not going to work, dude. And he remembered those words, and he wrote them down, and he read them back the day that he got an Oscar for Rocky. Yeah. So that night. Okay. And so eventually, remember he's broke, he sold his dog, and so he's going out and he's shopping a script, and you know, he's looking for deals, nobody will give him a deal. He finally runs into these guys that he can sell the vision to. He can sell the dream to these guys. They're all over this. They're like, yeah, this is good. And they offer him $125,000. And he's like, okay, that sounds great. And he's like, but I want to be in the movie. He's like, I want a part in the movie. And they said, no. You can't be in this movie, man. You look funny. You talk funny. Like, you're not the guy for this movie. We got the guy. He's like, no, I'm the guy. I'm going to be in the movie. And they're like, no, you're not going to be in the movie. He's like, they're like, you're a scriptwriter. You're not an actor. You're a scriptwriter. This is a great script, but you're not an actor. And he's like, no. He's like, this movie is Rocky. I'm Rocky. $125,000, a part in the movie, or we don't do it. And they say, okay, we're not going to do it. And he says, but we understand you're passionate about this movie. We'll offer you $250,000, but you're not getting a part in the movie. Now understand, he's so broke that he doesn't even have his dog anymore. And he says, no. Can you imagine? And the reason why he said no is because you got to understand, he already knew his why. He already knew that he was born to inspire other people. And this is the way that he was going to do it. So then they offer him, they come back and they say, listen, man, we really want the script from you. We're going to offer you $325, but you don't get a part in the movie. He says, no. They come back days later, and they offer him $35,000 and a part in the movie. And his final offer is $35,000. They offer him that, plus a part in the movie. He accepts it. The movie ends up, Rocky, they make it for $1 million. It ends up grossing $200 million when it first comes out. And then you know how it's residual income now, right? Okay, we all know how residual works. So that was a good thing for him. So I was like, man, what's the first thing you do when you got that much money? You got $35,000. What's the first thing that you're going to do? He goes back to that liquor store. And this is what he did. He went back there for 3 straight days, you guys, to that liquor store. The third day, a guy walks by with his dog. He finally sees his dog. And so he offers the guy $100 for his dog. And he's like, no, man, I love this dog. Beat it. And the guy's like, well, okay, that's fine, but I love him too. I'll give you $500 for my dog. He's like, no, we're good, man. He's like, I love my dog, you know? And he says, he's like, no, man, it's my dog. Listen, man, I was going through some things. Look, listen, I'm cleared it all up. Look, just $1,000 is all I want. I mean, this is like a month and a half after he sold his dog. He's like, $1,000. I'll give you $1,000 for my dog. I've had him forever. You had him a month and a half. Come on. And the guy's like, no, I love this dog. He's like, listen. So here's what he did, and we can all learn from this. He changed his approach. And he said, all right, the money's not working. Here's what I'm going to do. He gave him $15,000 and a part in Rocky. So when you see that dog in Rocky, that guy that owned that dog is in Rocky. The dog is in Rocky. And so I tell people all the time, you got to know your why. You got to know why you're doing this movie, okay? So guys, 5.5 years ago when I saw World Ventures, I didn't know why I was doing World Ventures. I just knew all the things that I didn't want in life. It was really, really hard for me to crystallize my why. It took a while. So if you're like that, I totally get it. Focus on all the things you don't want and move as far away from those. And over time, you're going to find your why. Thank you.